You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always on and always streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. Please search for Fakeologist Audio Chat and Fakeologist Main Show on your favorite podcast app. To listen to the live stream, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. Now, on with the audio chat.
Now recording.
Welcome, everybody. It's Saturday, September the 14th, Johan Cruyff number day. And we are listening here at Fakeologist Radio, fakeologist.com, to very interesting things about a topic which we have touched upon in multiple chats, but not really gone into depth. And if there's anything to go into depth, it would be the surface of Gaia, I would say, the history, especially in geology, but also the narratives and how it all worked or not worked. And we have Fliegenfürst, we have Garrus, if he is still asleep, and we have a new member. Seriously, I just met him on another Discord server, which was very dead. It was very nice to meet him there. We chatted a bit, and now he joined. So great, welcome, and yeah, if you can first introduce yourself just a little bit again, and then please go on about the Tartaria, the resets, Tesla towers, and all this kind of very interesting stuff.
Oh, hello. I'm about 25, and I've studied computer science and information security, forensics, that kind of deal. My name is Sirius. I've been researching a little bit, and most of what I'm about to say is speculation, so please take it with a grain of salt. I have seen some ideas floating around of resets, some as recently as the Victorian era. Reset in this context being there was a advanced civilization that became less advanced for some reason. So one of the theories that I've seen before is the idea of making a Tesla tower for energy that harnesses the ionosphere. Now, all you need to actually ionize the ionosphere is water particles that create friction with the ambient air, and you get phenomena such as thunderstorms in the same way. So how can you actually turn that into energy that you can use? Well, a Tesla tower is essentially just a large tower with a copper wire going down to the ground. The ground is usually negatively charged. The ionosphere is usually positively charged. And through that copper, you're going to get a current, and that can be harnessed. So the harnessing of that current requires a lot of copper. And if you have a civilization that is using these as power plants, a Tesla-style tower as a power plant, essentially, which doesn't really require much upkeep, if you have some kind of reset, you're going to have a lot of copper floating around. Now, history tells us in between the Stone Age and the Bronze Age is a Copper Age, which you need in order to have a Bronze Age, because you need copper and tin to make bronze. And before that, you're starting to mess around with metals, and you use copper. Now, if you want to have easy copper, best thing to do is find the ruins of an advanced civilization which may have had copper in the form of a Tesla tower. And it's really just speculation, but it's something that it's theoretically possible.
Okay, just a question. I mean, it's called a Tesla tower, and Tesla lived from the mid-19th century. He was born in the Victorian era, and he died in 1943, so late Victorian era even after that. He was born, so there was, like, earlier invention of this concept in this Tesla Tower somewhere, and Tesla reinvented it, or how do you see that?
That's nice. Now, I'm not going to claim that I know that it was a thing, or that there was some sort of ancient civilization which built the Sphinx, and then later on the Egyptians used it or something, but that there are people who will say that. And
yeah.
There are also people who will say that you can see a grid throughout history of something that looks like a Tesla tower. For example, now this I saw in actually a YouTube video, and it made a lot of sense to me. If you have a church with a very high tower and a covered
yes.
roof,
yes.
that has the makings of a Tesla tower, especially if it's going next to running water, and you use that water to charge the ionosphere. It's all the makings.
Yeah, and I mean, all over Europe, all the roofs, or not all, but many of the roofs, especially of a certain era of these churches, are copper, right? They're green because of the copper oxides, right? Malachites, actually. Yeah.
Now, that, honestly, there is nothing saying that that can't be a coincidence, or that copper was prevalent or easy to make.
No, copper was not. No, copper is not at all prevalent, right? Copper is a very precious metal. It's not very precious, but it is, especially if you don't have it, it's very precious. And most of the copper in Europe came from, and still does, from the harsh and central Germany. Mansfield, I think it is, or something, Mansfeld, or so. I've studied that area a bit. It comes from the Kupferschiefer formation, which is, means copper shale. It's about 300 million years old, more or less. And it's very high enriched in copper because it was a volcanic lake, and it was very high in organic matter. And so the bottom, the sea bottom, there was no, the lake bottom, there was no circulation. It was when the North Sea, the proto-North Sea, long before, was forming an inland sea in the center of Europe and stretching out all the way from Poland to all the way to England, actually. So all across the Netherlands and Germany. And you have very rich areas there in the Harz, especially in Germany. And that was the copper factory of all of Europe, actually.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know that thieves will often steal copper to sell to junkyards, and it's thing to them. So it can't be. I mean, it's not uncommon, but it's not.
No, but it's not something you would use for your roof. Right, that's the point.
Therefore, the current shortage was basically because we've been building all these electronics for like 150 years now. So there's, like, in old buildings, that's like a gold mine for someone to tear them down.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and they do this.
There's a lot of raw materials that, speaking as somebody who's worked in the electronics industry, there's a lot of raw materials that a lot of people find very valuable, and recycling it is not as easy as it would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like all these rare earth metals, like iridium or tungsten or osramium or whatever you have, osmosium or whatever. Right? I mean, all these ones. What are the most of these rare things in your experience that are sought for now in the world that are recently in interest, like coltan or I don't know what. What is
coltan
that? It's not a metal, right? Coltan is not a metal. It's two metals, right? It's
a metal, but it's a semiconductor, and it works basically like something that has high resistance. You build resistors with it. Everything requires this gray powder as a super resistor in your.
Okay.
And,
But coltan is not a metal. Coltan stands for columbium and tantalium, the two elements, and so it is. It's like a group of metals where these two elements are in the minerals. In the east of Colombia here, in at the border with Brazil, an area I haven't been, and it's very inaccessible. But there's a lot of illegal coltan mining going on there, legal and illegal.
Oh, there's war because of it in Congo especially. That's
yes,
where
yes.
A lot of problems are happening.
There's the number one country for coltan, I think.
Wait, it's a metalloid then?
No, it is just any mineral that has the two elements, columbium and tantalium. That's it. You have that in certain, in the east of Colombia and also in Congo, that's the Congo craton, and here is the Guyana craton. So it's very old earth crust. You find these precious, very rare earth metals there, predominantly.
Oh, you can just dig it up with a shovel there. Before
really?
It was discovered, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what they do. Because of it. It's terrible. What we were doing before is there was, and now I forgot exactly what the mineral deposit was, but you could refine coltan with a mineral deposit that was common in Australia. That's what we were doing in the early 90s before they discovered that coltan.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, this, we have a bumper every 20 minutes, just so you know it.
Okay, I understand. I do have to go soon, but it's been a really cool talk.
Yeah, very nice, man. It's definitely you want to hear more.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in these subjects. I believe that you both are too, because I mean I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but somebody who is definitely cares enough about people that they think if there's a danger, they'll still talk about something that they're not supposed to talk about, which means.
Yes. Yeah. No. Very much. And I think there's a lot of overlap because they push these narratives. For a reason to hide the real history, right? That is for sure. Pick any thing and that's the lesson of it, right? 9/11 or Second World War, nukes, space travel, whatever, and global warming, of course. And they state events surrounding to push their narrative. I mean, the oldest, so-called terrorists, and the longest as well, were anarchists, people opposing statism, right? So, and they used that as fear-mongering to get people into the idea that we need rulers and need to be stolen from in taxation and all that kind of ridiculous clown world stuff, right? But to get us as far away from Tartaria, the shamanic tribal of life.
Oh, yeah.
Before you go, Hello? Hello?
Hello? Yeah, you can still see shamanism being practiced in the form of Tengger You have the black shamans and the white shamans. Which it used to be that a black shaman would be sent to destroy a city somehow, and then the white shamans would be like healers, and this. This kind of mimics what I've seen before with the idea of the black and the white Mongol tribes. The idea that there were black, white, and gray styles of tribes, and Temujin or Genghis Khan was somebody who unified these groups.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I'm sitting on the balcony, so I know a lot of traffic in the background, so I have muted.
That probably has something to do with Tartaria. If Tartaria was a real place, Genghis Khan somehow has something to do with that. Most.
Yeah, what I've read, and I've like I said, I've played a lot of Europa Universalis and learned so much from that. I can really recommend anyone to play that if you want your interest in history anywhere in the world. But it's that this Sark area, in at least what I understand, is the remnant of this Mongol Empire thing that fell apart. It was just unsustainable, too big of a thing, too big to fail. Well, it failed, and then the remnants of that. You don't hear anything of those for hundreds of years, and even at Wikipedia, there are small articles that just, yeah, they have no wars and trouble to spread, right?
Well, that's why they went into China and started the Yuan Dynasty, is because they spread very thick. They got to Western Europe, and then they couldn't...
The Manchu, you mean, right? Or the Mongols?
The Mongols created the Yuan Dynasty, so there was Genghis Khan, and then Ogadai continued pushing west. After Ogadai, there was, I mean, most notably, there was Genghis Khan's grandson, which was Kublai. He fought against the Song, pushed into China, and eventually established the Yuan Dynasty, where China was ruled by the Mongols for not actually that long. But I think it was around 80 years.
Okay. That was before the Ming, then?
Yes, just before the Ming.
Okay, yeah, that is. Some power struggle, something I remember. One thing I want to ask, because... Yeah, are you done, ambulance? No. I have 10 million people around me, sorry. What I want to ask, I have seen photos and examples of these doors, right? These large, giant doors. And,
oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and you see these handles, which you use to open and close doors, that's where they're for, in the middle of the door, which makes sense for someone that hides. It doesn't make sense for someone our height to use such a door. So why is that handle in the door, in the middle of the door? It is not only aesthetic pleasure, because it has a purpose. It has a use, right? You as an engineer, scientist, you know.
Yes. As somebody who's worked with computer security, I can tell you that there is a very good explanation for why. And that's to create like onion-style security with something that makes it a little bit more difficult for people to go into. So you may have needed a tool like a halberd or a pole-arm
at
one end that you could use to open the handle.
Okay. Yeah, it could be.
That's only an idea, but of course, maybe there were giants. I don't freaking know.
The thing for me is physical evidence. If there's no physical evidence, or if the physical evidence is faked, why would you fake real evidence? If it's all burnt and so, then we need proof of that, right? That's it. Physical evidence.
But there's some case to be made for if there actually were giants, just to entertain that notion.
There are giants today.
Yeah, I mean, just like really, really tall beings. If you look at the African fetisher culture, if you look at the African fetisher culture, where they like basically
Milos. Okay, yeah.
Have a good time, man.
Hey, you're verified, by the way. You're a verified member now. You can see all the channels and come any way you want.
Thank you very much. I'll see you later.
Okay, cool, man.
Have a good time. Yeah, but to just finish that notion, if you look at the way that some tribes in Africa basically make these fetishes, like stuffed animals, dried animal bones, albinos that they kill because they think they have some magical properties, or the Chinese who are wiping out species to make this rhino powder.
Is a global phenomenon.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's only called that.
It's the same thing, and what people did here, according to the stories, the Spanish said, so I don't know, but people mummified their ancestors, and they were placed in temples and so, all built of wood, so nothing remains, but okay. And what they did during battle was putting mummies of their ancestors on their backs during battles to scare their enemies.
That sounds like a good strategy. Yeah, just if you entertain the notion that there were giants, but there's no evidence, like bones or anything, considering this whole fetish culture, they could have just did stuff to the bodies, like ground their bones to powder. The lack of bones doesn't mean
Good point.
It's like a logical fallacy, I know, but.
No, it is. Okay, wait a minute. So we have different data points to go over and check if that all makes sense, and then come to a conclusion. That's scientific approach, right? So, next point. What else do people leave behind? Big footprints.
I don't know. I think there's some, what do you call those layers, like when there's some...
Ash layers?
When you walk through a terrain that is muddy, and there's like a sandstorm, and the sand settles over it, we can find those from dinosaurs and stuff like that.
Yes.
So, I think I've heard about giant footprints.
Sorry. Just to interject. A floodplain environment, which is what you describe, especially if it's coastal and tidal, that is one of the best ways to preserve footprints of any animal, or trace fossils of slugs or crabs or so on the beach and so on, right, and worms and so on. Because what you get, indeed, what you describe is you have a muddy area, so clay, so very fine sediment. What they used for the imprint of the so-called photo on the moon, right? Very powdery, it's wet, of course. So that leaves footprints very easily. And then what happens is another layer comes on top of it and preserves the layer below. Ideally, indeed, a sudden event like a storm or a tsunami or whatever, with a different sedimentology. And if that happens, then it's a different sedimentology because clay is deposited in very quiet conditions. So any non-quiet condition will cover the clay with a different lithology, a different sediment type, different grains and so on. So that is what we need then of the giants.
I think I've seen at least a YouTube video where they said they had those, but even if that was true, it could just be a freak of nature, you know, like mutants that grew. Like, we have these people today with these hormone problems where they have this growth hormone that doesn't stop, so they grow until they die because their organs fail.
This is, I think, a very big part of the population we don't know about. See these people on the streets. Right.
Yeah, it's freaky.
I come from literally the tallest country on earth, right? On average, the Netherlands. There's a reason, you know why?
No.
Because we have been evolved to grow out of the sea coming in and out and trying to drown us.
I like that approach.
Yeah, I completely believe in.
I don't really know why the northern Europeans are so much taller. I don't even know why I'm so tall.
It has to do with diet. And so because if you look, my ancestry is not so very tall. My grandmother was 1.47 meters. So that is not very tall, even for those times. And she died just a couple of years ago. So. Let's not go there.
Let's
keep on track because this is recorded. This is all live.
Yes.
The giants. The thing is, these footprints. Okay. Then we need that. Then what we need is to document all these cases where people claim that. Ideally, have different viewpoints that different people have different ideas about it because that needs to be documented. Okay, fine. Let's go. Next point. Let's see. We have bones. Could be fake. Could be burned. Could be anything. Could be destroyed by Gaia or Gaia's forces. Okay, fine.
We also have items. like a clothing or, like you say, a big door that doesn't necessarily prove anything.
Giant tools. To make giant doors, you need giant tools if you're a giant, right? That's a no-brainer, I would say. Sorry, but
You need, even as a tall person, you need bigger stuff just to work the same job.
Look at the other way around, right? We use microscopic tools for open heart operations and surgery like that. I mean, I really respect those people who do that, right? So, the other way around, the same thing. We use very big tools for big things. And we talked about that last time, about the biggest tools in the world, the biggest driving ones, the ones in the bronchial quarries in Germany and so on.
Those bronchial mines, I don't even know if we can call them mines because it's surface level.
No, they're quarries, yeah. A mine, yes, surface mines, but actually, yeah, it's a quarry. If you dig stuff up, it's a quarry. But or if you have if you mine stone, natural stone for decoration. I mean, I'm now looking at my own granite. The desk of my kitchen and bar. I don't know. Let's not go there either.
The giants.
Yeah. Okay. Big tools, but they can also be burned and so, but have they been fine? Do we have any evidence in that? Never heard of this, but I don't know.
Nothing conclusive I've seen so far, but it's really getting tiresome with the internet today, with the ability to fake stuff. Conspiracy channel. It looks like they are using video editing software to create evidence where there is none. So that's kind of frustrating.
Wait a minute, that's a very good point, because what did we have as trends in the conspiracy ACT community, as John Moon would call it? We had 2015 Flat Earth, the PSYOP that started. I will publish some more about that. But then, recently, we had this mud flow, Tartaria, and so why is that suddenly now? Where does that come from? Right? How is this seed planted and then everybody dived onto that, like us, but much later, and I like that going after, or either completely before or very much after the trend. That's good. But now I'm watching the helicopter flying over again, of course, at this hour, but we have this bones tools, yeah, but in museums and so, you would expect some large tools, and they then hide it with a different explanation or something.
There must be something left over. Like, reuse is a thing. Like, even the pyramids, they took the stones from the outer layer of the pyramids of Gizeh to build buildings in the town. So, but even then, some has to be preserved, like something they didn't find, something they couldn't scavenge. There's nothing that is kind of implying that it didn't, that there's actually just nothing there, you know.
Yeah, there are a couple of sites on Earth I would like to talk about. One I would like to talk about next Friday on the Fort 42. I will keep that as is. Then another I would like to talk about, indeed, okay, we have the pyramids. The pyramids, I mean, of course, the ones in Egypt. That is what is usually referred to as the pyramid, but we have many more pyramids, especially
all across the globe. Big.
Yes, exactly. I have been at several pyramids, especially in Mexico. I want to talk about another side. I don't know if you have looked into it a little bit or... But it is so, the same with Egypt. It is however you want to call it, even if you would need to build today, it is extreme, right? It is such a mystery how such a thing could have been built. And what I want to say is, just two places actually, but it looks similar, is Tiwanaku and Cusco, the old Cusco, right? The pre-Inca Cusco, the seamless building style. Amazing, right?
Yes. I've seen some stuff about that.
It's. I mean, even today, we couldn't even figure out how to do it. So that is a mystery, and nobody can explain that away. I love these things. I think that is what we're talking about. It's all speculation. Yeah, exactly. That is, so it's completely safe, right? I mean, you don't have to fight a mainstream narrative because there is none. They cannot explain that away, right?
Yes.
That's cool. That's the problem with Egyptology. I mean, Egyptology is literally the archetype of scientism. It is such a cult, and so... And... Right?
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hey guys, it's Harry L here from Melbourne, Australia, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Melbourne, Australia? What? Okay.
Never heard that one.
No, indeed. What? Go on, please, and I will read something.
With the seamless buildings, like, I've heard someone say that they're probably kind of, like, it was similar to how we use concrete, and it was very speculative about using basically, like, a bag, you know, that would disintegrate with the material.
Yes. Yeah, I have commented on that video, because I like that... very much.
An interesting thought.
Yeah, I thought so too, because these handle things, they are like ugly sticking out of a more than perfect thing. The thing is, I would need to watch it close up with a loop, you know,
a magnifying glass.
Yes, exactly, thank you. Which I have, of course, as a geologist. Go there, and I have never been to Cusco, to my shame, or Machu Picchu, or Nazca, where I really want to go as well, because that's another mystery. I've been to Peru, but not to there. Not to those places, unfortunately. But you need to see it. Actually, what you need is to chop off a piece and have a thin section, and then you know what it is. But okay, that is not possible. I know that. So the next best thing is to go there and to just with a magnifying glass look at the different sides and different places, and then you can see if it's a poured sediment solidified somehow rock, which is like cemented, like literally, like. Or if it is a natural crystalline, because it's all crystalline and volcanic and magmatic rocks over there. It's not a sedimentary rock, that's for sure. It is, like a dolerite, basalt, diorite kind of thing that could be. Or, andesite maybe, or it is man-made, poured, and so on. That could be solidified from sediment.
Yeah, but it's also possible that they... people who built that have some method of
laser kind of thing.
Or just, I would want to call it growing rocks, like you grow crystals, you know? We know some methods to create mineral structures based on...
Yeah, okay.
Letting them grow.
In this case, no. I've seen that you can see from far away already, and I've seen it in this video. That is not the case here, because this is a polycrystalline rock or a sedimentary granular rock, right? It is very diverse in grains or crystals it has. So you cannot grow that, because crystals grow at different temperatures and different... pressures and humidities, and that is impossible. That is simply not, no. And it's very uniform, right? This whole wall is the same texture. And crystallization would, crystalline rocks have a certain texture in a certain part, and then they change in other part, right? That is what...
Yeah, they grow in patterns up. And form like these veins of different...
exactly. Pegmatites and so on. Exactly. I've studied those in the field in detail. And there you have huge crystals in pegmatites. Those are the and members of a magma chamber, so what solidifies latest, so had the most time to grow, and then you see huge crystals, but they are in a matrix of smaller crystals, and that is how any crystalline rock looks like. The same with a simple, just like in my kitchen, right? Or in your kitchen, a simple granite, a real granite. I don't know if you have fake granite in your kitchen. That is common in the 1960s or the 70s or so. But okay. You see the different sizes of crystals. And so you cannot fake that kind of thing. That is so... That's Gaia, right? But you could do something with this pouring effect if you have the right conditions and if they figured it out. And that, to me at least, for now, makes the most sense, because otherwise I couldn't explain it, and nobody can.
Yeah, it would be really cool if you get a chance to go back there and take a look up close.
Yeah, and that is the thing what interests me with this Egyptology. The thing is, people want to sell a narrative. Right? It is, oh no, it must be this, and it must be from Dannegan, or it must be blah, blah, blah. And no, please, let's take a couple of years, probably 10, to first study all the material. And then start to make conclusions. Because if you don't do that, then you're not an honest researcher, and you're trying to sell a narrative, and that is exactly what the National Geographic Channel and Discovery Channel want to do to us, so we shouldn't do the same thing.
Yeah, it's also really sad. Like, I've seen a documentary, I think it was a YouTube documentary, about the issues with the Arab Spring. There were a lot of scientists.
Yeah, we not talk about the Arab Spring now. Let's go
into... No, just the access to, like, researchers...
Yeah.
Lost access to those sites where they were trying to figure stuff out, and right now, even though we have the best technology to research this, it's still very hard to access the sites safely.
Yeah. Okay,
so we're years behind just because of that period of scientists having to leave the sites, and nobody knows what's being done there right now. Like, some have returned, and it's very sad.
Yes. One question short. If you talk about Arab Spring, where exactly are you talking about?
In this case, Egypt, the old Egyptian sites, I think it was about 300 scientists who were working on very specific projects all had to move outside of the country. Mm-hmm. And most of them couldn't pick up their work again. Like, there's a lot of Swiss scientists who did that.
Uh-huh.
Most of them have not returned.
Talking about reset, right? Talking about reset. This is a reset.
Yes.
This is literally...
It's a scientific reset, yeah. Like, they were, some of them were very close to figuring stuff out about mummification or about how these sites were built. And it's been on hold for quite a while right now.
That's it. If things start to become too big or too threatening, they need to be curtailed. And all over the Arab world, there's so much archaeology still unexplored. Even in Egypt itself, but outside of Egypt, even more. Turkey, I mean, they found, what is it? Göbekli Tepe. They found it like a couple of years ago. And it is the oldest site in whole Europe and the Anatolian Peninsula, right? So, yeah, and then people saying, they faked it. Okay, then still, right? How do you fake the pyramids?
Continue.
How do you fake the pyramids? Do it for me. Do it. Yeah? With your current, you get all the budget in the world. You get all the budget, no matter any, you get all access. Limestone, granite, doesn't matter, you build the pyramids exactly as they are. Try to do it, right? Okay, then we talk, right? Then it is a mystery. It doesn't matter who so-called faked it. If it was Napoleon, like people here claim. Yeah. oh, me! Napoleon!
For real?
No, for unreal, better said. Because that clown, ethic autist claims this kind of bullshit. Nah, I mean, then still, how do you explain that Napoleon was guns without automatic things and so, without drilling tools or without anything, build the pyramids in a couple of years or so. Right?
It's actually a bigger mystery if you believe that.
Thank you. Yes, it should. Yeah, I mean, selective lie belief or so, then I don't know. But let's not go there. So it is a mystery. That is for sure. And we don't know when, we don't know by whom, we don't know how. So, and we have to strip with Egypt, especially. That's why I like to look at other places, because they're not so much overprinted by all this bullshit. I mean, the biggest clown world bullshit is Egyptology, really. But I've heard of it, and, well, actually, as a kid, I was very much interested into this, and I went to a lot of museums, and so I don't remember a lot from it, but at least the bigger picture. Asterix, I loved, of course, and my parents also worked in museums, and so there were also expositions about this, and so I was very much into that. But yeah, it is a mystery, and it is so much overprinted, so it's such a spaghetti that it's so hard to.
Also, there's a lot of people out there, like, guys, I saw a really interesting video about pyramids being built, with a theory about water floating, like, basically, this guy claimed they built the, like, a square shape, like, not square, you know, what's the square with the sides being the same? Fucking hell, my English.
Yeah, a square is a rectangle with the same sides, yes.
Oh, square, yeah. So, yeah.
Square base.
This guy,
and then
they built like a square of rocks, filled it with water, and used that water to float.
Okay. Yeah.
Materials instead of this very popular theory is like they built like ramps out of sand and just pushed their stones up with brute force, which is plausible.
Yes, very much. Of course. Yes.
But some people claim that there's no marks on the rocks that show being dragged through the sands, but you could still work on the stones before you put them in, like you can still...
An easy escape that is using a negative as evidence. The absence of something doesn't mean it wasn't there or something, right? You can only use a positive clue and observation and evidence then, and not as proof or something. It's not that if you don't find semen on your wife's dress, that your wife didn't cheat on you.
Hello,
Rollo, please join. Rollo, welcome.
Yeah, yeah. If Hello. I don't find the semen on my wife's dress.
Yeah.
Did I blow my load?
Rollo, what did you think of that analogy?
I love the analogy, it's fine.
I was just talking about...
Are we being recorded?
Yes, we are.
All right.
Fart 42, I would like to mention something, because it's a very special one, you know that?
The meaning of life, universe, and everything.
Yes, whoa, exactly, wow, great, yeah, why?
Because of Douglas Adams and, you know...
Cool guy, cool books.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Uh-huh,
so, yeah,
okay.
Fart podcast, 42, we will be talking about the meaning of the number 42.
Uh-huh, nice.
Okay, do you know what it means?
Well, it is 2 years from now, I hope, for me.
You mean the asterisk proposition?
No, I'm talking about Roman numerals.
Oh, yeah, because there's
okay,
a...
Okay, from the Roman thumbs. Numerals point of view, this is the way it works. Okay, the meaning of life...
One,
XXX.
Oh, wait.
Okay, let me... Hey, guys.
Or X is...
Sorry, everybody chill out. Everybody chill out. Is Dave J here?
No, he's not. No.
He's not here. He's not the sissy.
XL it is.
Why can you and Dave J not get on?
No, we are. Hey, Rollo.
We are getting on.
Rollo, yes.
You told me.
There was a hatchet in the past that's been buried after
plus
18, and we go along very well, and his work is very well respected.
What episode did you bury the hatchet? Which one?
We just stopped, and that's how normal human human beings who are here for the truth do.
Good.
It's still very intense, though. When you talk.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Let's not go there.
I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
Hey,
who am I talking to here?
Hey, Rollo, first time I talk to you. It's Fleeken first here. Glad to meet you.
Just a second. I wanted to say something first before I want to let you guys know. So, yes, I will. Just, I want to say one thing first. No, the Fart 42 that falls on the equinox, and that's very special. And I hope to share some thoughts on that if that's okay, Rollo. On the 42.
It'll be this Friday. It'll be this Friday, the
20th.
There is already,
and we're live. There is already a Fakeopedia page for it, so that's right.
Okay.
So if you have information to share beforehand, please send it to me, and then I'll put it on there.
More than welcome. You're more than welcome.
The fart pages on the Fakeopedia a lot, so they're much nicer now. And
no worries. You and Gaia and DJ are more than welcome. And who am I talking to here again?
This is Fleeken Fürst from Switzerland.
From Switzerland. So you know Simon Schack, you know about 9/11 and all the fake stuff going on with 9/11.
It's not real! It is not real!
Jesus fucking Christ. That was loud.
Who did that?
Come on.
Gaia, was that you? Did you do that?
What? How? And why?
Beautiful. Nailed it.
I need to lower the audio on.
Who's doing this?
Fakeologist.com.
Is Gaia doing this in the command
chain? Nobody died. Nobody got hurt.
Okay.
Where are my children's testicles?
Jesus fucking.
You're a better woman than me.
I am, yes.
I think Gaia's having a lot of fun here. Gaia, stop this.
It's not real!
Okay, that was just you. What?
No, it wasn't. It was. It was Gaia playing with the.
It was just Gaia.
No.
Bang! Bang! You nailed it! Nailed it!
you can't upload this as is. I have to adjust the audio levels. It's gonna erase.
I know. It's blowing my ears out. It's blowing my ears.
I'm blowing
my ears out from 5 years ago. Those are
killing ears we don't even have anymore. All the cells have been replaced.
My ears are bleeding, Gaia. Thank you for that.
Sorry for that. Just before you go to Fleeken Fürst again, but I wanted to ask you, can you list the episodes of the fart where you are on John Laws? Please. You send that to me in a private message. But go on with Fleeken Fürst.
Go on, Fleeken. I'll tell you what I'll do, Guy, is I'm going to, before next Friday, I'll all the John Laws, because I'm hoping to have John Laws on our actual...
Yeah, I have it already
on our show.
The man
himself.
Nice, very nice.
Yeah, I want the man himself to be on our...
You're a legend.
On our podcast. Yeah, because...
You're a legend, really.
Yeah, well, he's a legend, and I think I am a legend.
Make an even bigger one.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're a legend too, Guy. I mean...
Thank you.
Yeah, you're not a flea, you're not a tick. you've been described in the past. I can't wait to meet you. When are we going to meet? We're going to meet in January next year in, we're going to be there in Colombia, and we're going to have a good time.
Already informed for some nice...
And we're going to go on a road trip.
Some sand crystals, yeah, so we go on a road trip.
We're going to go on a road trip, and we're going to have a good time. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to hang around for too long, but I'll just say this. Yes, the next five podcasts, episode 42, will be definitely this Friday.
Okay.
On the 20th, and we have a special guest, maybe two special guests. I know we have one. I've got one locked in that you have never heard before, but maybe two. Oh!
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. It is the world...
Fakeologist.com.
...over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
And you know they're making a Matrix 4... The Wachowski or the Wachowski brothers.
What? No,
Gaia, I'm telling you. It's the truth.
David, 25.
Isn't it going to be like a reboot?
They've already rebooted.
Let's not talk about it. Let's keep it for the fart. Listeners, listen to the fart.
All right.
And donate beer and money.
Beer and money and books.
Beer, money, and booze.
Booze. All right, guys. It's nice to talk to you. I'll talk to you on Friday, Guy. And Flegan, come and join us. Come and join us on Friday over at the Far Podcast. 42. See you then!
Great, Rollo. See you then, man. Cheers. Thanks. So, always great. This was the introduction with you. He knows who you are.
Come again? You cut out a bit.
Rollo now.
Sounds like a nice guy.
Rollo is the guy before Jerris. I checked it mostly. We know each other pretty well. Now let's not talk about Rollo. He's not here. Thanks that he came on, and thanks for inviting me at the part. And I would like to be there. Let's see where I am. Hopefully in Bucaramanga, but let's see. Let's go on about history and Tartaria and Giant. How about this? We know of giants, because we know of the name of giants is literally in a future country. We talked about in length, right? You know what I mean now, with these clues, right? Hints.
I'm not quite sure I remember. I might have missed it, but...
It is in Spanish. In Spanish, Patagon literally means Bigfoot.
Ah.
And... that is why Patagonia is named like that, because the southern cone, most southern peoples there, they were very tall, described by many sailors, independent, late in different eras, as very extremely tall. They say like 12 feet or so, but then it's 9 feet. But they were extremely tall, and they were all massacred. That is what we learned in the Plan Patagonia chat. I'll link it in the show notes. So that we know exists. We know, like, in Africa, there are exceptionally tall people, also exceptionally short, the Pygmies, of course. But, that may have been wiped out. Many ethnicities and races and all that have been wiped out, right?
Yes. But, in many cases, in a way, that doesn't really leave any traces except for outsiders' testimony.
I mean, what is left here? The remnants and gold and the pictographs and so, but the temples was all wood, so destroyed, all burned by the Spanish. Right? And very easy to overprint that. It's much harder to burn a pyramid in Palenque or so, right? No.
And also, just even if stuff was made of stone, like my ex-girlfriend from Germany lived in a house where they, when they built it, they found some old Roman ruins, and they took the stone and built the house using those stones. Like, there's...
What?
Actually,
what?
They were big assholes. They did.
Are these people in jail for this?
No, it's like her great-great-grandparents did that.
Ah,
And I was like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. You basically found an old Roman building and you just used the stones to build your house with it. That's a dick move.
How much ivory has been used to make dices or any other things, right?
Piano keys.
Yes, actually. Okay, let's not go there. So we have Patagons, and that is that area. Mudflots, recess, mudflots. Yeah, they think for something global to happen, there must be global physical evidence, Gaia, geology, geological evidence. A flood leaves traces everywhere, always. There's no floods, in invisible flowers. No, if one flood overprints the other, then, right?
You mean like the Tartaria thing with the more, the higher ground thing? Like, stuff being covered by ground?
It was a fucking steppe with rivers and ice and melting ice and then, right? Yes, the first hot day in April when the ice melts and then suddenly the rivers flood. I mean, there's no banks, right? It's all flooded terrain. The Aral Sea is now 5 times smaller than before, or whatever, right? And, of course, that is part and parcel of nature, that is Gaia, right? I come from a country like literally. So, I've seen the proof of the evidence of the 1903 flood in the house. First girlfriend, the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no.
Like, that's very real things.
The stuff you see on YouTube, everybody makes claims and they don't know shit. And it is just too pathetic. And why would you do that?
It's so sad. Like, I've seen a lot of conspiracy videos.
You and me are talking in a small chat. Right? You are not publishing on YouTube in a video about the King of Holland. Right? It's not. It's in a chat. It's recorded, but that's it. But if you would do that kind of thing, you hurt your own credibility, right? I mean, if you make claims that are based on literally loose end, on mud. Right.
Yeah, but the worst thing I've seen in recent conspiracy theory videos that I watched was confirmation bias. Like, somebody already has a theory, and then they... Some stuff really looked fabricated, because that stuff I don't have a lot of knowledge in video editing and 3D graphics myself, could fake easily.
You have a bit more than every job. That is true. Confirmation bias and cherry pick. These two go hand in hand. And they are very big enemies to real scientific research.
Yeah, those people aren't truth seekers. They're I don't know why they do what they do. Like, I'm just going to give you
most of them is to create an audience, and many of them to monetize. I have found, luckily, and I have shared, and I will share that in the comments or in the show notes on Fakeopedia. I will make a page for this chat. That they want to sell. It's a product, right? Same like Flat Earth. You get subscribers. You get if you monetize, you get people. You sell T-shirts. You sell books. You sell all kinds of stuff. It's an industry, right? Yeah. We know people survive and a medium successful conspiracy or likely conspiracy theorist online can have an audience much bigger than a gamer can do, with more effort maybe, but also you don't have to gain for that.
Exactly.
So it's a different activity.
It's just so frustrating. Like, there was this one channel that said, oh, this is the same under the sea of the coast of Russia as it is in South America. And I was like, yeah, but you could have just used the image from South America and created that second image from under the sea level. Like, it's really hard.
Wait a minute. What was the basis for their image analysis? Was it Google Earth?
No, it was, one was, like, it's claimed to be like this underwater footage that I couldn't find when I researched it.
Okay, but you can never compare to underwater footage is from, if you have that from Northern Russia and South America together, and then say, no, that is never possible. So you need larger scale phenomena to say anything, right?
Yes. If they don't provide the source, I'm already distrusting.
Let me give you an example. You cannot take a traffic light in London and a traffic light in New York, and they are the same, and then claim that it's the same city, right? Or the same thing. You cannot do that. That is what they're talking here. So you need, if then the street patterns of London and New York match, and so on, okay, then we start building a case, right? That is scientific research, right?
Also, you provide your sources. If you don't, if you put the effort to do a 30-minute video, I want sources. Come on.
How much have you seen of fake video?
I would say, I don't know how big it is. I would guess it at less than 5%.
Okay, but you have seen how I reference, right?
Yeah.
So we level.
Provides you sources.
Yes, everything is there. You can check everything. Everything is PDF, online, accessible. So that is academic
standard.
Thank you. And what I would like to introduce as a term is called alternative academia. And it is very important. That is the key for truth seeking. And there is a lot of it. And I will make a page on Wikipedia later about this. And I now have listened to three and a half hours. Of Flamenco's, one of Flamenco's books, his audiobook, and it is very good, and he definitely is an alternative academic.
Yeah, it's very important.
Please, find me. Sure. I'm shutting up anyway because I'm eating, so speak for a couple of minutes.
Oh, I don't know if I can do that based on what we just talked about. I think it's like, people have been criticized doing YouTube videos for reading articles and research. And say, oh, you don't even write your own stuff. I'm like, this guy went through all of this material, found the stuff that references what he wants to talk about, and then reads it out loud. That's not plagiarism. That's not bad science. That's just person supplying the sources and actually quoting them, which is actually what an academic would do, but people on the internet are assholes, I guess. And when I watched some conspiracy theory channels in the last few months, a lot of them, they just don't supply you the sources, so...
True, yeah.
And then they show like a picture or a video clip, and if I can't go back to that source, I will be very likely to distrust them.
Something I want to say also is related to the earlier points, and that no sources that helps with it. Right? It's either laziness or they're trying to hide. They don't have a point because they don't have the source to support. But it's jumping to conclusions, right? And making based on one or two observations. For instance, what I've seen in this area is an empire bullshit videos, is that, they use the same color for Tartaria in Siberia and for North America, so that means it was one country. No, that means they had a certain amount of colors available because colors were expensive and they had to reuse the same colors. That is what it means, right?
Yes. Yeah. Some colors are abundant, like some, what you call them in English?
Yes. Pigments.
Pigments. Some are abundant, some are very rare, and the abundant ones are going to come up in every culture that has these materials in nature.
Yeah, and if they use it on one map, that doesn't mean that two places belong to the same ruler or so. No. Look at, if you would make a map, it's in 256 colors, right? If you would make countries, then you could fit it because we have less than. But if you would take into account as well, like things like Abkhazia or Kosovo, is it a country or not, right? Or what else do we have? Well, in Western Sahara, we have the Palestine. We have there are so many gray areas with a country, right? Russia is already ridiculous. So how do you subdivide Russia? In terrain, or in language groups, or in population density, or in religion? habits, customs, cuisine, whatever, right?
Yes, and just think about like the old artists, painters. They had a really hard time getting enough different sources of color. Mm-hmm. So somebody made a map 200 years ago, and they used the same color twice. That doesn't mean shit. It just means he wanted to make clear this is this region, and this is red, the next one is green, and the other one is blue, just to show that it's different regions. That doesn't mean shit.
The thing is, the one who said this is someone who speaks at our level. Your, Garrus, mine, what was it, sorry, what is it, seriously, anyone here, we talk with here, any dead level, they are speaking about Tartaria, so, and then they come with such a conclusion. And, I mean, that is, I don't know if they are really stupid, or if they want to sell something, I think it's that, and just throw it out there, and they know, that is the thing, they know there is an idiocracy. They know people don't check sources. They know people don't investigate things further. This is how this Khazar theory comes. It is literally, it's great you're here now, because I want to say this. The German word Brief, right? It is based on a brief. Oh no, sorry, fragments of a brief. That is very brief, isn't it? If their whole theory is based on that, it was so-called found in the late 19th century among 300,000 documents so-called describing Jewish history in Cairo, in the Cairo Geniza synagogue, by one or a couple of guys. Wait a minute. How come nobody knew about this or these documents? If there are 300,000 documents, there need to be, if they are legitimate, so old, documents that refer to dead documents that you have found independently and by independent researchers and so on. Otherwise, we have no source validation of each other, right?
It would be weird if it wasn't referenced anywhere. Like, of course, there's like this, the Library of Alexandria burnt down, a lot of documents were lost, of course. But there should be something somewhere. Like, if you find nothing, it's already suspicious.
It can still be true.
It could. Like,
yeah,
it's just very unlikely.
That's a great question. Can this be true? That's the first and only question always to start with. Can this be true? Same with these giants. Can this be true, right? And then go over all the points. Now, what we talked about, I talked about with, or maybe you were there already, before we went online, about, what did we talk about? Shit.
The Hadron Collider?
No.
What was the other thing? It was like five things. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, we talked about this, the Piri Reis map. I've talked about it in many chats before. I've had a special maps and exploration chat. I will put this also in there in the show notes on Wikipedia and link it all, because I was working on this anyway. I was listening to Fomenko for 3.5 hours today. Not Fomenko, but a reading of his book, one of his books. History, Fiction, or Science, which is an interesting title. Do you know anything about that? About his ideas? It's interesting.
Which ideas?
Fomenko. Anatoly Fomenko. You know him or not?
I know the name, but I can't really recall anything.
Oh, then it's great. That is great, because I had it open, probably. I still have him here. Anatoly Timofeyevich Fomenko. Born 13th of March 1945 in Stalino, USSR. Stalino? What? Donetsk. Oh, that was called Stalino then. Donetsk.
They renamed a lot of cities back then.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't know this rename. Okay, it's interesting. Okay. One of my favorite football clubs. I've never seen a match of them, but I like their orange tenue. Shakhtar Donetsk, I also like them because they're miners. They are from there. But, okay, he is a Soviet and Russian. Yeah, he was a Soviet, yeah, okay. Mathematician, professor at Moscow State University, well known as a topologist. That is very interesting. Do you know what that is?
That's about the layers of in geology, right?
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Please continue.
Yeah, it's topology, that's like these layer systems in geology, right?
Yeah, it is very interesting because I ask this because in my understanding of what I learned, what topology means is the study of shapes, and literally, right?
Most basic.
Topos and logos. It's actually the study of like geography because topography, right? It's the study of the shape of the of
the earth.
Topography, geography is the earth, and yeah. So, but actually, it has a more specific meaning in mathematics. It says indeed what you say. The concern, okay, in mathematics, topology from the Greek topos, place, and logos, study, is concerned with the properties of a geometric object that are preserved under continuous deformations. Very interesting. Such as twisting, stretching, twisting, crumpling, and bending, but not tearing or gluing. Okay. Okay, and then we go. The ideas underlying topology go back to Gottfried Leibniz, who in the 17th century envisioned the geometria situs and analysis situs. Leonhard Euler's Seven Bridges of Königsberg problem and polyhedron formula are arguably the field's first theorems. The term topology was introduced by Johann Benedict Listing, never heard of him, in the 19th century, although it was not until the first decades of the 20th century, wow, that the idea of a topological space was developed. Okay. Interesting, but the example they gave is, of course, one of my favorites because it is has been used by one of the most gifted artists ever.
M.C. Escher.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. I mean, what do you think of him?
I love his work.
What? Yeah.
It's beautiful. Like, it's not just beautiful, it makes you think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was introduced from a young age because I have there, that's what I inherited. That's the one of the few things I have left. My grandparents, they had Escher etches and so on. I mean, like copies, of course, not originals, but. And the thing is, his father was a geologist. And a lot of his work is based on symmetry and so on, you find in nature. He was inspired with a mineralogist. And yes, for me, in university, we did the other thing, the other way. We used Escher to study mineralogy. So it is for me, Escher is so, for me, Escher and Dali and Ronaldinho, those are my top artists.
Yeah. Like I always thought like Dali was a bit too trippy for my taste, but if you look at the
I can understand that, yes.
But if you look at the shapes and the construction, you can even as a layman, you can tell there's a logic there based on what's the word in English Can't remember. Like, it's just like this guy had a method. It looks trippy at the first glance, but like with Escher, it's much more clear.
Yeah, well, still, also that's a similar. This, I wanted to share this one from Dali. I was thinking of this. And it is actually an extremely good truth-seeking painting. I mean, Dali, man, I mean, the hallucinogenic Toreador I had on my wall, and I tripped on mushrooms on this painting, and not only me, also my friends. and this guy spent 3 years making this painting, and you see that, right? I mean, you cannot fake.
Where did it post it?
No, that is not what I will post. Oh, sorry, I will live stream chat. I will post now what I want to talk about. Another painting by Dali. I will look for the name. I think it could be it at the age of six. But he is a girl.
When so he thought he was a girl, lifting the skin off the watch to see the. Probably was too long for Wikipedia.
The dog, probably. It's not Wikipedia.
Wiki art. Yeah.
Yeah, Dali at the age of six when he thought he was a girl lifting the skin. Okay, that's the title. What do you think?
Well, I see a lot of interesting geometry.
Mm-hmm.
Like the line of the probably water, I guess, from reflection, starting in the middle.
Yes.
There's the golden ratio is pretty prevalent in many shapes in here.
Uh-huh, nice. Nice, good eye, you see that, yeah, very nice.
And there's some hidden details in the rocks that I can't pinpoint at this resolution.
No, good to say that, sorry. Just let me open this. This one is better, sorry. It is, if it opens, it is on the Facebook page, the Dali Museum. It didn't even load this one with me. This one should be better.
Ah, cool. Like, it's always sad to look at images in low resolution. Like,
I am sorry. I normally always look for good stuff, but yes. Okay, good to mention.
Mm-hmm. The shadow on that girl is very hard to interpret. Like, it's not the shadow cast by the figure.
Wait a minute. This, yeah, that looks strange, right? Yes.
Like a doll or like a puppet.
That is probably to fit it in the painting or so, because this is strange, yeah. I think, I don't know, maybe his canvas was not big enough. This, I don't know the year when he made this. That is very important with any artist when he... Oh, there's another one. That is called Hercules lifts the skin of the sea and stops Venus for an instant from waking love. Wow, never heard of this, never seen it even. Wow, I will share that too. But just a second, I wanted to see when... Oh, wait a minute. Here it's called, this painting, the same one. Myself at the age of six when I thought I was a girl lifting with extreme precaution the skin of the... something. Okay, the dog. Borrowed from Ain Brew's 16th century painting, Martyrdom of Saint Cucufa. Cucuta? Really? Cucuta is a city in Colombia. And rediscovered in Dali's 1950 work. Okay, it's pretty early. Is pleasantly well anchored to the surface beneath the raised water while young Dali, looking immodestly female, finds himself levitating too, just as he might have found himself in a bizarre dream. That may be the shadow and the distorted shadow below it. And no doubt that was precisely how Dali came to paint such. And then I have to click this link to find more text. Okay, but the gist is just clear. But I wanted to share the other one of the Venus or so, because it has the same theme, the similar one. This one. It's a low resolution, sorry, I will look for a better one.
Can you use Google image search to find bigger versions?
But you can look, maybe.
I can do it myself, you know.
No, the thing is, you can start looking at it and then talk about it, and then I look for a better one. So, anyway, just like before. So, yeah, what do you see in this one?
Okay, let's just bring it up a bit larger.
Yeah, it's... Okay, just... Yeah, just copied it. Yeah, what is it? Yeah, just better. Here. Come in.
Let's have a gander.
And I think this is Dali. The thing is, I did field work in the area where he grew up, and the rocks in the background here are rocks from that area. You only find it there. It's a very unique landscape I have never seen anywhere on Earth. And
it is volcanic.
Yeah, like what I was saying, pegmatites. Pegmatites are the end members of magma chambers, and so intruding into the surrounding rock. And the surrounding rock there in the east coast is the easternmost point, and then the easternmost point of that was my fieldwork area, and I have a photo. I am at the easternmost point of Spain, of at least mainland Spain. That is the area where Dali grew up. And these rocks were already metamorphic when they were intruded by the pegmatites. They were old, and they are part of the basement in the process of the building of the Pyrenees. But these shapes, the erosion, has produced shapes like come back in. You remember all these supports, right? Dali uses, and shapes in the like these strange shapes. You see in the rocks there, and I need to scan photos because it was my second year fieldwork that was there. So yeah, it's all in the analog era. But yeah, it's this background that you see in the background, and it's at the coast, so it's this is then the sea. You have these coves there, and I've swum there, and oh, that photo I may have. I will look for that. Yeah. So, but please share what you see in this painting.
It's awesome. The first glance looks like the faces, I suppose this could be the parents, are also degraded, like similar to erosion.
Mm-hmm.
Only the heads.
The faces, right? Yeah, the heads. Yeah.
And the kid has the same tone as the rock does on the watch, so it's very, I guess the colors are very interesting in this one because they have the rock in the back with the different lighting.
Uh-huh.
It's the exact same color on the left rock with the brighter lighting used for the bodies above water and below water to some degree. I don't understand the toes on the man. That could just be artistic expression, I guess. But the symbolism, it kind of eludes me. Like the man is drawing up the surface and pointing at the woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's some... I'm pretty sure if there's... Even the hand behind the back. Is she trying to kill the kid?
I'm not working at you. You are... Because I'm talking to my wife by phone. So. No message. So please go on. Keep talking.
The hand behind the back. It's like basic, I'm hiding a knife behind my back.
Mm-hmm.
Symbolism and...
Yes, basic. Very, it's almost no symbolism. Obvious, right?
Yeah, true symbolism is more hidden than that, so...
Yeah, anyway, it's not occult, or yeah, esoteric, it's not really esoteric. Okay, yeah. Wait a minute.
He tries to tell you something, so that's it's not supposed to be that hidden.
And where is this arm coming back? It is not... You see, that's her arm.
Yeah.
It must be her arm. It's there over the lying boy.
Yes.
Over his arm, you see? Because he is using both his arms there. He cannot...
coming out of the rock, yes.
Yeah, it's coming out of the rock, but it must be her arm. It's also in the same tone as well, his life.
I guess
right?
Yes or no, like because it has both have elbows, so it's not a straight connection. But yeah, if
that is
true. Her arm going into water.
Okay, that's a good point, yes. He's sitting on a... like a Greek... Oh, no, yeah, it looks like, this is travertine, or actually it looks like a stromatolite. A stromatolite looks like this rock. A stromatolite is layers of And they're very famous because they can be very old. It's one of the oldest rocks we have, biologic rocks we have in Australia, in Shark Bay. Mm-hmm. It is a world-famous site. But I've seen them live in the Bahamas, snorkeling there. And they have this texture, exactly that. It is. And travertine can be stromatolite, doesn't have to be. But it's like, you see these holes, right? They use it for a lot of building material, in especially Mediterranean, especially.
Yeah, I know these rocks from the Mediterranean seas and the buildings.
That is knowing the place, that is not the rock type that occurs in the background, right? So that is cool. I know the geology there.
As a layman. Those are different rocks.
Yes. In the back, it's the same thing. You have the same thing there. It's also a very porous kind of, it almost looks like then a piece of pumice, right? Pumice is ash, volcanic ash. It is in the air, welded in the air together because of the heat, and then it drops like stones. It can be big, right? You can have a pumice stones a bit the size of cars or buses or so. So that looks like what you see in the background. It's also not the rock type of the area.
Even the stuff on the left looks different from the stuff in the back. But it ties into the color scheme. The rocks on the left, and the woman has the color of the rocks on the, in the background, and similar to the child on the water.
Yes. Very good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this is what you see in the background. It's so great, man. Oh, man. I've never seen this painting. I'm not like the Dali super expert, but my father, he organized an exhibition about Dali in Holland. It was when he just died, or the year he died, or it was very close to his death. And he was also, I think, interviewed on television in Holland. But what you see there is this creamy colored rock. That is the pegmatite. That is the exact pegmatite. That is the rock where you find huge crystals. Well, huge, not like meters or so, but like a good size, 15 centimeter size crystals. Black crystals. You find black crystals, and they are a very simple.
I think we have that in Switzerland.
I would say
that's
the composition. Yeah, you have
because of the sea and the volcanic action in the past.
No, it's not.
It's not the same. It looks like the mountains in the.
This comes from very deep. This comes from very deep. Yeah, it could be. No, I know. This area specifically is completely unique on Earth. You don't find this anywhere else. That is why Dali used it for his painting. I mean, let's say the Austrian and Swiss kind of alpine landscapes, you could use the paintings of, for instance, Adolf Hitler. But he is not unique, and the landscape is pretty alpine, but you find that in different places in the Alps. And if you would place that in Patagonia in certain areas, it would look the same. So it is not a unique landscape and rock type. And in this case here, in this area of Dali, it is, because you don't find this anywhere else. And this pegmatite, in that, behind this, you don't see that, but behind this creamy colored, there are inside, you have like holes where you have crystalline rock and space in between. Because that was where gas was accumulated and crystalline and fluids, and it crystallized very slowly because it cooled very slowly at the end of the magma chambers and the volcanic, magmatic arms. You have these arms all over this place. You find arms of volcanic, of magmatic, deep magmatic. This is like 5 kilometers or more deep.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Vidare Lissette, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Mm-hmm. And so
the symbolism kind of eludes me. Okay, the man's lifting the surface of the water and making this very clear, stop this, like the combination of the hands.
Go on. Do you see stop this, you think? Yeah, it could be.
The pointy finger, the hold-out hand, don't do this. Like, she's reaching for the boy and has something hidden behind her back. So, this could mean a lot of things.
Hey, it could be in circumcision, even.
Yeah. Worst case.
I don't know. I mean, the guy's lifting
up. It could be infanticide.
How worse could it be, right?
Could be infanticide. You could see the.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these kind of things. Or it may be, I don't know, she has an. I don't know, some kind of toy that the guy doesn't want the boy to have now, but it's Dali.
It's just. It's very poignant that in other paintings he shows the genitals, and in this one it's just like the you could see it as like the woman trying to, like, the boy has his dick out.
The woman's genitals. No, okay, the shadows are base, right? But you know, what I also thought of, I mean, I think you're right about the stop sign because of the finger. That's clear. He lifts the water and points the finger at, no, don't go there. So it's double his hands. He shows with both hands the same attitude. But also what I thought it could mean is, like, because they're in the water, like a baptize. Like he is baptizing her with the hand like that. After all, Dali, Catholic, right? That could be in there.
Yes, it would be really cool. Like, I hate modern art because it's all interpretation and you have no basis for it, but it would be really cool what he actually meant.
It is no matter what, it is just very intriguing and it's very ingenious things, and he means things. Everything has a meaning. Yes. And it's very nice to speculate and to look at it. Really, if you can do anything in your life, I mean, there are certain places you have to visit in your life. Of course, Bogota, Colombia, but the city, not so much. Now, the Dalí Museum in Figueres, in Spain. No, don't go to the Dalí Museum in Barcelona, never. Go in Figueres, his house. That is absolutely a place you have to go and spend the full day and have to go. I've been there twice, and it's amazing, really. Anyone listening?
I can see that.
And it's, I mean, if you're European, it's very cheap. Everybody can fly to Barcelona.
I would check it for me personally, but yeah.
No, yeah, okay, if you like that, but it's, I mean, if you would go, but then I would go with a carriage together and go in a car and go road tripping. That's the best way, right? Train is very expensive in Europe, I must say. Long
road. Sadly, like, especially to Spain and Portugal, it's insanely expensive.
Yeah, I mean, when I lived in Spain, just very short, I was living in Madrid, and I went to Barcelona by train, and that was still okay back then, but let's not go there. Shall we talk about something more interesting about this history hoax? Have you looked at anything online that you thought, okay, I mean, you know probably about the Dead Sea Scrolls, that is an invention, the Tutankhamun mask, the Stonehenge, that is clear. What else? Have you looked at other things?
I think so, but I really have to go pee, man. Like,
okay, that's okay.
Give me a minute. Sorry.
I will play something. No problem. Do that. No, of course.
Cool.
I wasn't really prepared, as you can see, listeners. So,
So, did you find the boat? We'll be right back.
Yeah, war may be an unpleasant thing, but at least let us make great music about it, right?
That's one way to look at it.
What?
Yeah, that's actually a good way to look at it, you know.
But you did like it.
No, I mean, like, make music about it is always a good response, I think.
Yeah. I mean, whatever it is, Vietnam War, they protest by Laurel Canyon and the CIA, and I mean, in the end, I had fucking great experience on LSD, and maybe then invented by and pushed by the clowns, right? But let's not talk about psychedelic drugs again. But you didn't like Sabaton.
No, I'm not a fan, but I have no problem with it. Like, it's good music, you know.
I like it very much. It's Swedish band, and they mock it in a sense. And how I knew about them is because their music is in Europa Universalis, which is a Swedish game, and I cannot stress enough to play that game. And this music is in there. Also, and it fits perfectly. And also, what I shared before, The Art of War, that is where they quote by Sun Tzu, working. I mean, that is eternal wisdom, right?
It's a very, like, I wanted to mention this earlier, like, it's not what he asked about earlier, but just to let my mind I keep wondering about, like, this endogenetic memory stuff. You know, like the cat meme where you place a cucumber behind a cat while it's eating and it freaks out when it sees the cucumber?
No, please explain. I've never heard of this. How do you call this?
Endogenetic memory. Like
endogenetic memory. Endogenetic means coming from the inside, created from within, right? Literally. And memory.
Basically, memory stored in your genes. Like,
okay.
There's some experiments that are like, you know, like chicken coops, like when they have chickens inside of a huge building and then they haven't seen the sun or the sky for generations, you know. Like these chickens have always been locked up and they did experiments where they projected the sky at the ceiling and then they had like a hawk, like the shadow of a hawk on the sky, and all the chickens were running away.
Oh,
no, they were running away.
But they were not. They didn't notice. Okay, So
they couldn't have known that there was a predator.
No, but it's intrinsic instinct, and that is... I don't know if there's memory then, because if it's memory, then you should test the other way around.
Yeah, true. Memory might not be the right word. Like, it's pattern recognition encoded into your genetics. Like, this is the thing about this...
Yeah.
I don't know why you didn't see, like, these cat videos were all over the internet, like, 3 years ago.
It's good you describe it. Please don't.
Like, they found out that if you put a cucumber or just a long green object behind a cat while it's feeding, and then it sees it, they think it, the cats think it's a snake. So they jump up and run away. Like, we don't know what they think.
I have had a cat for 17 years, and I've never tried. I don't know. I may have a cat here. No, I have a cat, but he is on the wall. And, he doesn't move, unfortunately. I would love to have a jaguar.
I didn't replicate that one because I like my cat and I don't want to scare him. But there's thousands of videos of people using cucumbers.
Wait a minute. You're then conditioned by the idea that it works. Right?
Come again?
Why would you scare your cat? I mean, you don't know
If it doesn't work,
your cat at one time, then it's not like he's gonna hate you. It's your cat. Come on.
that's actually a good point. But if it actually is like there's thousands of videos like these guys all have trained their cats.
It's just
that was the whole fault. Like there seems to be some stuff in the instincts. It goes as far as pattern and shape recognition of, like, a chicken knowing that's the predator bird. It's a hawk.
Everywhere in nature. Butterflies and flowers. Birds and flowers. Everything. You have so many mimicry in nature. And really, I've studied nature from a very young age.
biology and all that. And two, we work in a zoo. I've been, and we have had this. There is so much to learn. The biological side of it, right? Nature.
It's very, very interesting to think about what that means for humans. How much of what we think we learned, that we actually learned through life, and how much was already inside our brains when it formed, you know?
Yeah, and actually that is the origin of Darwinism, which I actually think has the most sense. I don't believe, and many Darwinists, if you want to call them, with me, don't believe in blind trial and error and so on, because it takes far too much time. Even Gaia has a lot of time, but this is going to be slow. It's not possible to explain the changes in biodiversity. At least I have studied quite a bit, especially mammals. In South America, the mammals in South America, I have done a lot of work on that. Not so much the dinosaurs, I know about, a bit about it, but it's more the mammals. And it's very interesting.
Evolution is going way too fast for the established model. Like they've proven that rats have ancestors that solve a problem are more likely to solve that problem three generations later. So there's something going on there.
I mean, people talk about an established model, but in a human darling needs to come on to give her perspective.
Of course.
You talk with her, but there are many more views that are completely overprinted by the scientism bullshit of National Geographic and Discovery, or their trickle-down effect, right? Some link on Facebook in your feed, which you don't even click or read. You read only the main...
Your shadow profile.
And that is the truth then, right? That is how it works for most people who are not interested in space, which is in the end, well, many... Yeah, normal. And my wife never clicked anything like that. So they only see the headlines of already the scientist's view, and it is completely not showing the whole discussion and debate, scientific debates that go in the background. And so the origins of Darwinism are Lamarckism. And I have always thought when I was in sorry. Okay, you go. It takes a while. You go.
Yeah.
Hey, speak up, man.
Yeah, but the headline culture is so bad. Like,
yeah, let's not talk about bad things.
You're gone.
The thing is that people get a completely distorted view of scientific data, and in evolution. Lamarckism, where the environmental factors influence directly your genes and also your memory, or like your what you produce yourself in your mind, in memory or pattern recognition, or so that information gets written into your DNA via RNA or I don't know, but it doesn't matter if it's a double helix, right? It doesn't matter what it is. There is genetics and there is inheritance of traits and all that. We have there are more mice ever cloned in the world or reproduced than ever any other animal, right? In terms of research.
I think so. Yes.
Yeah. Whatever. Right. I mean, there's so much research that is.
There is albino mice, like these white mice with red eyes. They have been. I think they're the most reproduced animal controlled by humans.
Yeah. Exactly. And I am if I. Income, then I'll get my frogs finally, hopefully. The poison dart frogs. They eat genetically modified flies because they cannot fly. They're fruit flies, Drosophila melanogaster, but they are genetically modified that they are flightless. So they have wings, but they cannot use them. And these frogs, is ideal food for the frogs, and they're very easy to reproduce. And yeah, these frogs. So you don't have flies flying around your house. It's what I don't like, right?
Machines are going to lose their ability to catch flying flies. Then.
At some point, maybe thousands of years. Very important, what they lose, the ability to produce toxins. Because poison dart frogs in captivity, poison. Their skin produces toxins from poisonous bugs and plants and fruits. So it's a whole ecosystem. And if you don't copy that ecosystem, then you don't have poison dart frogs.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
I will share more about poison dart frogs and so in the show notes. We can talk about it offline anyway. But that is very cool.
The thing you asked me earlier about like Stonehenge and other things, one thing I really want to look more into is, I don't know what your opinion is on ley lines.
What is that?
It's
magnetic lines or something?
Yeah, there's just one aspect of it. Like, there's a lot of maps of the world with like these lines going across the earth, like veins, connecting places of worship or places of power.
Yeah, same here.
And it's I don't know if it's legit. It sounds like...
I mean, there must be something which could be sensed by certain people in the end. And maybe these people don't exist anymore, right? I mean, there may be an electromagnetic effect, or, right, people may have something like sonar. I mean, things like telepathy. It's completely possible that there are people who have these kind of senses. And I also have my own senses, which are sharp in certain sense and blind in other sense. Recognize. And, you recognize that these things, there is a physical world. Right? There's a world outside of Gaia, the proven physical world. There's a world on top of that, the metaphysical world, right?
Yeah, like, I strongly believe it exists. I'm very distrustful of anyone who has, like, their religious or whatever explanation saying I can explain everything. Like that always is an alarm bell in my ears, you know. This guy knows everything. Like,
it is not geo. It's the narrative. It must be the truth and swallow this. Yeah, that is the actual thing that we shouldn't do. I mean, we should speculate and as long as possible, of course, hopefully finally reach a conclusion. I did it with space travel for 4 years, right, research. And especially with history, it is so, it's so complex. And so, but you recognize these patterns, and yeah, these ley lines, I mean, I'm looking literally right now along a ley line, because what they found is these temples here, the few sites they knew that were temples, line up perfectly. And the Muisca had a very conscious understanding of astronomy. Their calendar was extremely complex, and I will share that all in the show notes. And they were very advanced, but they were not so much interested in building pyramids and so on. And so there was some slavery, but it was all very, very mild, minor. But the understanding of the Earth, Batshuayi, Gaia in Muisca-Boon, was, of course, much more bigger than ours. First of all, because there was no asphalt. Because these ley lines, you wouldn't recognize them now because there's all concrete and asphalt all around. And I literally live along that boulevard that you hear in the background. So, along this ley line. Connecting the temple of the sun with the temple of the moon, and connecting also, they planned their pathways. They had specific lakes which were sacred, and they threw their literally their emeralds in there, because for them, the people here, Colombia is number one in emeralds, and the people, they mined emeralds already, and then the Spanish came, of course, and there was You're throwing emeralds in a lake? Imagine that's not...
Imagine them being really happy. Like, oh, there's all these emeralds in this lake. We don't even have to do shit. Like, just get them out of this lake.
No, the most famous of the lakes and sacred is Guatarita. And that is the lake where they held the El Dorado ritual, where the new Zipa, the leader of the southern Huizca here, in Bacata, where Bogota comes from, he would be covered in honey and gold dust, and at 3,000 meters altitude, temperatures are like Swiss altitude temperatures, he had to stand naked. First, he was in a cave for 7 years, and then he was let out of the cave, and then he had to face a woman, a beautiful woman, and if he would get an erection, then he had to go back into the cave. He was not ready yet for his new role as ruler. So he was on the raft made of bamboo and very strong wood out here, in this lake, a very circular lake, like looked like a mare from the Eiffel. Circular, yeah, exactly like this, and crater shaped. And there he would jump into the lake, yeah, it's like 4, 5, 6 degrees temperature.
Celsius?
At sunset, yes. Celsius, yeah. Of course. There's no other temperature range. Yeah, Kelvin.
There is, but we agree.
Yeah,
yes.
Fuck him, I mean, come on.
fucking imperials.
Yeah. Water, 0 to 100. In. No discussion. Okay, science is all degraded anyway, and Kelvin. So, he jumps in the water, and then he becomes the new ruler, the Sifra.
That's a pretty badass ritual, man.
Yeah, exactly. And what the Spanish did in the beginning when they were there, and they watched this, is they wanted to pump down the lake, and for all the gold and the emeralds. And stuff. There was no diving, right? I mean, you couldn't dive so deep. I don't know how deep it is, but it's like... 80 meters or 100 or so. It's not like it's hugely deep, but you cannot free dive that, especially not under those temperatures. So what they tried to do was to literally they used explosives to make a hole in the rock, and they partially were able to drain the lake. But then it was all problems with the moisture and so on, and also it didn't work. Partially it worked, but the rest didn't work, and it was now I didn't do it any further. But they wanted to get to their richness, of course. The thing was these lakes were sacred because they also line up. And the thing is, you have lots of faults here, and faults. What are faults? They are discontinuities in fractures, like long fractures in the rock. And they have a geological pattern, and so they're like smaller fractures related to bigger faults. It's not one big fault, never, right? And so that has a lot of fluids and minerals in it, and minerals have properties. And I mean, like healing with minerals, well, there is, minerals have properties, right? They are piezoelectric or... phosphorescent or all these kind of things, minerals.
Yeah, I would say once they're still in the ground, you know, there's going to be some plausible cause to think that there's going to be some energy there, but once it's just a tiny stone that you keep in your pocket, I don't know, but it could still be.
But that is why I'm so interested in these Tesla towers and this concept. I see what it means. I'm not an expert on electronics or electricity. I know, you know more. I did know just like, well, Garrus is not wrong, but like App or whoever has basic...
I guess this guy sounds like he knows a lot more than myself, yes, but I understand the concept of electronics.
Yes.
And it completely makes sense, like the ionosphere can charge up.
Yes.
Thunderbolts, so you can harvest that. It's completely plausible.
But the ionosphere, what is the ionosphere, actually? That's a good question.
It's,
where does it start?
What is it?
Can you look it up now?
I will look it up. Like, I don't wanna bullshit you.
No, it's great, but it's, I wanna...
Maybe it would be really cool to have this as a whole topic with this guy.
Of course, we will have that. There's no word. But it's never a shame to repeat things. Never, right? Yes. Listen to Dave J. He repeats things, but then they start making sense, right? You see what he means, where he comes from, and it's not a hostile angle. It's anger. It's directed anger. We talked about that. I mean, the importance of that, of masculinity, and especially, I mean, look at back at all these times. Masculinity was used to protect the tribe from enemies, from threats, natural threats, or human threats, or Gaia's threats, the natural disasters, and everything. And masculinity needs a pussification is going on, right? And
it's insane.
The same to women, right? And the same with women. It's not a discriminatory.
It's just Frankfurt School insanity.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody is equal. Women are very precious in their own ways, and men are very precious in their own ways. And we have to work together. And no matter how much such. Complementary.
Yeah.
It would say a human being is a woman and a man combined. We are not.
You mean
the definition of life is
in marriage.
Maybe not marriage. The continuation of life.
Biologically, that is what you strive for. You find a partner which you have children. Right? I mean,
yes. Marriage is not perfect. Religion is not perfect.
Bonding. Right?
Go on. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Fertile bonding. Right? That's pretty clear and well defined, I think. Fertile bonding. Because you have other bondings. Homosexual bonding is also as old as whatever, right? But it is not fertile, by definition.
Yeah. It is useful to society. At least it has been in the past.
Yeah, and that is very interesting point you make here. What is useful? How do you assess usefulness?
Basically, in that context, I'm only talking about the rate of success of the next generation that comes after you. If I have a woman and a child, and I have a gay brother who takes care dearly of my children, he helps my wife, helps me raise my children. That's actually good for the next generation. That's what I mean by that.
Yeah, and also, of course, I mean, homosexual, there's also a bisexual. I know I had a bisexual friend who even sat next to me on the couch smoking joints, and I was like, you're not going to touch me, eh? No. I mean, there's a whole spectrum, of course, but,
I shared a bed with a gay man
homosexual.
And he didn't do any moves on me. Maybe I'm just
homosexual genes are passed through by various means, either by a curious homosexual being that went for the female, if it's a male, or by bisexual, or by care, and then maybe the gene of, homosexual care. It's possible that a child takes that through, and it becomes a recessive gene or so in the next further generations. So it could be.
Well, we will never know because it was culturally enforced. So most homosexuals in the past, they are like that's the story we're told. They were forced to keep up appearances, to marry women and have children. So, but
where?
In Europe.
In Europe, whole Europe.
I can only speak for the German-speaking part. There were like in the last 100 years, there were like very famous cases of homosexuals having wives and children. Just like it was illegal. They would be hanged. They would be chemically castrated. So they did everything to hide it. Even marry women and have children. So that part is actually pretty well established. But
just look at and if you are interested in this specific point, the homosexuality. Well, first of all, of course, if you haven't listened, please to our track about the Apollo stuff, because and also to the Full Moon episode of the Fart, number 37, because there you will hear that point, which I just lost. Oh, man. Shit.
How did we get here, by the way? I lost track of the conversation.
That's an entry to something. Shit.
How did we get to Gabe?
Okay. Yeah, thanks. It was about the boyfriend of John F. Kennedy. You know, where he lived. He lived inside the White House.
I saw those pictures.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the conversation you had, but I saw those pictures. Very, very strange.
It will come back in a pretty hilarious fashion. I will not reveal it, otherwise it spoils the joke. Don't drink anything with these sketches you'll hear in these tracks and the Full Moon one. I've done it with Garris and with Noise Level, and you will love them, really. So listen to them. Anyone who listens, listen to these sketches at least. If you don't want to listen to the 10.5 hours, plus the hours of the Full Moon fart, you miss something if you do that, but at least listen to the sketches, because they are very, interesting. So let's go back to, I will link it in the show notes.
Yeah, we were on ley lines, now I remember.
Yeah, that was indeed, but what I want to say is, read Miles Mathis, and he has revealed that many of these rulers were actually homosexuals. And you see that in the art and so, and also in the fashion, right? I mean, they all powdered their wigs and this kind of thing. I mean, it is not masculine at all, right? That is not... which faggot dictated the fashion of that time, right? If that would be happened today. What the fuck?
The metrosexual lifestyle right now.
Yeah, that doesn't come close to powdering your wig.
In a way, yes, because my brother doesn't use makeup, but he always wears perfume and deodorant.
Straight males also do that, but
perfume. Maybe I'm just old-fashioned. Like a man, deodorant is okay, but perfume. Come on, like it's cultural,
after
I guess.
Aftershave? You don't do aftershave? Okay.
I don't shave. I have a beard.
I don't shave either, but I use aftershave. I let my hairdresser here, my barber in the village next to me. I support the local economy. He cuts my beard and my hair, but let's not go there. Deer and hair, let's not go there. What were we talking about? These gays, Miles Mathis has written a lot about that, but you see it everywhere around. So, yeah, we talked about that. Let's go. Ley lines, what do you want to say about the ley lines?
Yeah, basically my point was I really want to look more into it, because I feel... I remember a lot of people arguing, there's this argument from magnetism about the Earth, you can measure it, there's arguments from geology, and in a way...
There's already, there's one point, but okay.
Yeah, it's the same, I know, but it's different scientists, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, in the end...
Of course, rock formations, magnetism, that's... Of course it ties into the same source, of course.
Well, actually,
My university where I graduated is specialized on paleomagnetics. So you use what happens, and it makes sense, right? You have, and that's another dating method nobody talks about. Everybody.
The orientation of the magnetic particles in those stones?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about, yes. It's good to make a break. And
if you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month,
or a book, or beer, or booze,
or one-time donation. Thank you.
Give me 1 minute. My cat's fucking up.
Okay,
1 minute.
Yes. No cucumber.
It's meowing at me like crazy. Max 1 minute. I think
okay,
it just
moves out. No worries. I will keep talking. No worries. We have to go. My old lovely bitch cat Pro was literally hitting other cats through a closed cat's window door in the door. So she broke the plastic of the window by literally fighting another cat outside of that to get out of the house. So, that was my old cat. Yeah, my fuck you style pass. Yeah, she gives the finger. It's her. She was grumpy. Bitch cats. In your case, they were, I think.
Okay, he just wanted to leave the house. That's good.
Sorry, do you have a garden?
The cat meowing in the background is just annoying.
Do you have a garden or something?
Yeah, he can go outside, live in a very quiet area. It's not cheap,
it's pretty opposite from here. Yeah.
I got some new neighbors, they built some new houses. It's not that quiet anymore, but it's still like 10 minutes to the woods. That's good.
Okay. Yeah.
This one is quite common, actually.
It depends on how they define woods, how many trees they define woods.
Come again? I think you're cutting out a bit.
Yeah, sorry, I'm sitting too far away from the router. Let's go back.
Yes. Are we on ley lines, or
yes,
should we move on?
Yeah, I know. I mean, the effect of your people and crystals. And the same with the star, right? Where it is, I mean, alchemy made chemistry, but astrology made astronomy in the end. So, and that is the thing, and that's why I like Simon Stevin so much, that his idea was not based on the mechanism, based on the pure observation, the sun and the moon aligning, causing tides. So there must be some kind of attraction, or at least an effect, right? A force.
Yeah, how do you explain the tides without the moon having some attractive force?
I mean, literally, they haven't even begun to explain this. And they don't fucking care about it, they just don't talk about it. It's just like NASA, the same, and it's a NASA operation in the beginnings. I've been there from the beginning, not the very beginning, but very close to it. And I've seen the whole phenomenon. I've analyzed the mission statement of that society, and I've linked it. I will link it.
It's like this other thing. Go on.
The thing is, there are various bullshit models presented. I don't know if you have looked at it, but have you looked at, for instance, concave Earth?
Concave?
No.
No, this sounds insane.
First, we have to study three. Shapes. Concave, convex, or flat. Any shape we can have can only be either one of these or a combination of these. Right? There's no other possibility. It's geometry. That is, it's not NASA. It's geometry. Law.
Yeah. You don't have to leave the Earth to
realize this. Topology. A Möbius band is a combination of convex and concave. Right? There's no flat in a Möbius band. It's an eternal concave-convex thing.
And that is everything. Donuts, diamonds, flat angles, diamonds, right? It's flat angles that come together, so. Things like that. So, okay, the Earth can only be convex, flat, or concave. And everybody knows about convex, the reality, flat, because that is a very big line. But yeah, concave Earth, concave. That is another one. So, what does it mean, concave Earth? Just imagine it in your head. What does it mean, concave Earth, for everything?
Like, if I know, I can't even imagine, like, it would have to be, like, if it is not semi-flat surface that is concave, it would have to be like a Pythagorean shape with all of these concave surfaces.
Now, what it means, I will make it to visualize, because it is hard. What it means is actually the Earth is inside for the model. But what it means is that the whole sky and the celestial bodies and stars and everything needs to fit in a sphere as big as the Earth. Because it's suddenly now inside the Earth, and our surface wraps around that, curves upward, concave, right? So instead of convex, reality is that ships appear to the horizon, you go off the horizon. The opposite will be true, right? You would see much more of the ship going up.
Yes.
So, it is completely ridiculous, and there's one guy who is the main proponent of that, and he calls himself Lord Stephen. He bases himself on the Bible, so we have flat earthers, concave earthers, and convex earthers basing on the Bible, so by definition, the Bible is not a good book to base your earth view on. But and that's a very minor. I've interacted with that shortly. I put all my arguments against it. Yes, that's another.
No, I can't see that. Like, it cannot. It does not make any sense.
His model has a famous proponent.
Like, there are some people who don't understand how air works. Like, in Switzerland, where
just
I live.
Just a sec. Let's go there.
Go on.
I want to mention this name because he's well known. Because he's known for his comet. And you know who I talk about. Edmund Halley and his comet, right? He believes that we live in a concave earth. 18th century.
So okay.
He's going about Switzerland.
Yeah, people don't understand.
All
like,
already. Let's go.
People don't understand, like, when the wind shifts from where I live, I can see the mountains. Sometimes I can see the first ridge. Sometimes I can see two. Yes. Sometimes I can see three.
Yes.
The third level is the highest. So I can see them because they are higher than the second and the third tier of.
But you can also see them when they because of the cloud cover.
It's just about the clarity of the air.
Yes.
Like when the wind is blowing my way, I can see them better. So some people.
You live in a very rural.
Come again?
You live in a very rural area, much urban.
Semi. Yes. I live on a hill. It's the end of the Jura, like same as the age. Yeah, exactly. And I live on the second last. It's not a mountain. It's a hill around here. In Holland, in the Netherlands, it would be a mountain. Very very small mountains there. Depends
it's
on who you ask.
Undulated terrain. Yes.
So, I understand it's just about where the air is moving, if I can see that because of the pollution and because of the clouds and the humidity. And some people say, why can I see this? Because it's higher. And the distance is like
let's be honest, the moon must be closer than you, because I can see the moon and I cannot.
Yes, of course. Like, if I can see the moon when you can't see it, it must be close to me. Like, come on. That makes perfect sense. Like, do people even learn math in school anymore?
Exactly. This is the level we are talking about. And people, the clientele, the customer, the consumer of Flat Earth are people who lack the ability to review things and to think about things, what things. And that is why it's such a widespread phenomenon, supported by the mainstream, by the actors, by the rappers, by people who are considered heroes by the fashion industry, whatever bullshit, right? Clown world shit. So that shows that it's an agenda. And yet, people in this environment, fakeologies.com, fall for this style.
It's so weird because, like, I just recently saw a clip by Carl Sagan.
Where he explains
like the how Aristotle's calculated the circumference of the Earth.
Approached it very idea.
Yeah, he was not completely right, but it was so close. It's very amazing.
And his method. So if that doesn't work, then someone to explain it. But that's the thing. They have cherry picked examples. And they completely, if there's atmospheric effect, if they do an experiment, and Robotham did that in 1849. So, yeah, since then, and no sailor ever before has ever suggested that the Earth is flat. There are some pictures of cosmological models in the Mayas and the Indus Valley, and so, yeah, they come from books. That may have been there, yeah. Does that mean that was the general view? No, not necessarily. And sailors would be the first one to think that the Earth is flat, because they are depending on the curvature of the Earth and the stars because of that.
Yeah, at least after Columbus. What was the name of the big discoverer guy?
Maritime. What were the earliest explorers? It was not Columbus, which is already an actor named Brand. But okay. No, it was going south, and that's the thing. Because then you need stars more, north-south. Right? The estimating latitude, you can use the sun.
Yes.
Right? But at night, yeah, you need stars. And the first exploration actually south. The Spanish conquered the Canary Islands, the Portuguese, Cabo Verde, and settlements there at the coast of Africa. And the Chinese, they went south towards Indonesia. The Arabs went along the coast of Chilwa in the east of Africa. So there was, of course, if you look at South America, you have the Pampa and the Patagonia area, you have a pretty big area where most see different stars, right? From here, what I can see from here, which is pretty cool, I can see both the Pole Star and the Southern Cross. Because of the Southern Cross is not exactly the South Pole, and the North, the Pole Star isn't exactly the North Pole, but there is a time in the year where I can see both. And
that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit north. The thing is, I would need a few, like now, said it is 80% of the year it's covered with clouds. Only, it's now fake summer, and real summer is my birthday in January, when Rollo comes over, and then it's much better in the year. Skies, stargaze, at least, in studio. this year, when I went to north, 4 hours north from the end, the complete countryside, like in a village, on a hill while I was outside of a hill, but with the lunar eclipse, and then the thing, my mother-in-law, she was so at her died, 65 years old. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, I've seen it before. It's so shocked. Still, it was so great. See, experience it. See, that is reality. That is how everybody saw the sky before we started with industrialization and urbanization. And because of the urbanization, the city captivates much more heat during the day and releases it during the night much slower. That's why we have clouds here all the time. That's why it's much less cold at night than when my grandfather was living here.
Yes, so
20 times smaller.
When you listen to meteorologists, clouds are very important to store heat.
Oh, well, yeah, very much, yes. Of course. Yeah. They're the number one.
That's why I'm personally inclined to think that the rare earth theory might be true.
Like, what is rare earth? That is interesting. Yep.
That the conditions that planet has are very rare. Because like the fact that the shadow of the earth is almost precisely the size of the moon in a lunar eclipse.
And
the size of the moon to the sun is almost exactly the size of the sun for a solar eclipse. That's very special.
Wait a minute. Before you go on.
Yes.
You said something very interesting and it made me think too. You said that the shadow of the Earth, when it eclipses the sunlight and so causes a lunar eclipse, right, has the same angle as the moon. Indeed, that was exactly my observation in the last two lunar eclipses I have observed, and the second last one, so not the one here in Colombia, the second last one, that was great, because I watched it from Barcelona, Spain, and my wife watched it, then girlfriend, watched it from Bogota, Colombia. And she saw a completely different angle of the pathway and so than me, and so on. That is interesting, to with trigonometry, you can figure out how it is. But I didn't do that exercise, I should do that, but it's you have to know the angle, how you have the camera and all that. So that is, you have to do a proper experiment. But the thing is, indeed, is that the shadow of the Earth is the same, or the curvature, sorry, the curvature of the shadow of the Earth is the same as the curvature of the Moon. The problem is, according to the mainstream model, that cannot be the case. Why not?
Please explain.
No, think about it. It's easy.
I'm not following. Like, the moon could have a different distance.
That is interesting. Let's park that. Compare a football and a tennis ball. They have both different curvatures because they have different sizes, right?
Yes.
Curvature is a function of size, right? I mean, the radius in the end and pi, right? Yes. Simple trigonometry stuff, topology of basic level. Which we now do with a simple Excel sheet, and then it becomes very easy. Right? It is nothing special. So what that means is that if you have a shadow of an object falling onto another object with the same curvature...
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Psyopticon, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.
Oh, I've never heard Psyoptical. Okay, interesting. Thank you, Psyopticon. Please join us again. I heard a lot of... okay, let's go back. Two objects, same curvature. They must have the same size, according to law. Okay, then go. Let's go now. The distance. Let's put a lamp. I have a lamp here. Maybe I can test it. I have an orange lamp. An orange IKEA lamp. And I'm the only one who has this in whole Colombia, because I brought it from Europe. next year, open up IKEA here. And I have, let me see, I have a football from the village I was just talking about, where I saw the lunar eclipse. And this is a famous village because all the footballs in Colombia are made there. It is a football-producing village, literally. So I put my football here, next to my lamp. And then, oh shit, yeah, I have no other football of the same size. But I have my juggling balls, because I like to juggle. Where do I have my juggling balls? No juggling ball joke. where do I have these? Shit. I have to make some light. You can, right, this is so basic. But we are now finding out something very interesting. Oh, I have my globes here. I have three globes. I need only two. It's okay. Okay, two globes, same size. Yeah, my lamp is not a lot of shadow. It's not very bright. Can I do it like this? The distance that changes the curvature. Yeah, no, that doesn't work. Yeah. They're the same size, and the distance changes the curvature. Of course. So the shadow changes. So that they can be any size then, because if you just get it farther away. Okay, I have one ball in my hand, my left hand. At the bottom, one ball in my right hand holding above my head, and the one closer to the lamp, of course, looks bigger, so it has a larger curvature, or less curvature, and the smaller ball, the smaller shadow at the bottom, distance of the light. So yeah, no, that's not a good comparison, right? Doesn't matter. It's not the curvature of the Earth. It's indeed the distance to the light source, the sun. So we cannot use it. Okay, cool. Experiment done. But we have found out something. Thanks to my two globes. It is spheres. And that's the thing. This is the thing, right? Think about it. Even flat earthers have to admit that what are spheres? The sun. The moon. What about Saturn, right, where you see rings? That is a sphere with rings, spherical rings. It's a lot of spheres there, right, or circles in rings at least. Okay, then your rotations of Mars you can observe, Venus, that might be volcanic activity, I don't know. I don't know if we can see from Earth so much on Mercury. I don't think that's mostly NASA bullshit.
Yeah, it's not called NASA.
Yeah, actually, I mean...
Stuff we can do with telescopes from Earth.
The thing is, what does everybody think about when you hear about Mercury is this bullshit image from... But is it Mariner or so? I mean, one of these missions? Because that is what everybody has seen. But that is not how we can observe Mercury. It's next to the sun. You see a light, very bright. It's very bright. It's not as bright as Venus, but it's bright. I've seen Mercury from here. But not through a telescope, unfortunately. But you cannot see what they show there. But with Saturn, I've seen Jupiter and the moons through a telescope. I've seen pictures of Saturn from a telescope.
I've seen Mars. From my naked eye, you know.
Yeah.
It's like people are very good images of the rotation.
Or the channels. Have you seen them with the naked eye? No. But the channels on Mars, do you know about it?
No, yes. They were very interesting. I'm just saying that Mars has been on the night sky for 2 years. It's not always in the northern hemisphere visible, but right now it's very visible. You can tell very well there's Mars because of the color.
Yeah, and it's the brightest, right? I mean, Venus is the brightest, of course, planet, but then it's Mars. And then, I mean, in the last weeks and months, it was also Jupiter. And it was the same last year. because that was when I was living in Bucaramanga, and I saw a bright star, I thought, in the sky, and then I opened up my stellarium, and I looked, hey, that is Jupiter. And I put my camera, my little Sony CyberShield camera, on a tripod, and put it all the way zoom to Jupiter. And then I took photos, and then I looked at the photos, and I had captured the four biggest moons lining up. I shared this photo many times already.
It's not just that Jupiter is rotating, it has other planets, moons rotating around.
Well, that is the thing.
Why would the Earth be flat if we can perceive other planets with moons?
First, I want to go there, but just a second. We have to establish what is real observation from the Earth possible. And from my own experience, and also with the telescope, at least the four biggest moons, let's say Galilei, first telescope, Huygens, then Galilei. Hey, moons. Yeah, makes sense. What can we observe and what not? I mean, they claim, 64 moons now from over Jupiter? Yeah, that's bullshit. Right. I mean,
they're pushing the definition of moon, rotating the planets, you know.
I mean, they invent these moons based on a flawed system anyway, because they present this with a two-body problem. And in the case, if you would indeed have 64 moons around Jupiter, then by definition, minimum, you have a 66-body problem, or 67, right? You have the 64 moons, you have Jupiter, you have the Sun, and you have the center of the Milky Way. Right? That is the logical order of gravitational fields, right? According to the model. How could you ever put any space thingy there and think that you can solve an equation with a 68-body problem, right? I mean, this is insane. Let's not go there. But it is important to understand then what is real still and what is fake. But okay, so the four biggest moons of Jupiter and Saturn, they're real, right? And Uranus is real and Neptune is real, and so you can see that with telescopes. I just saw that there was a discovery of an asteroid, I think by a lady astronomer, in 1880 or so, in this week. So, if they could do it then, and an asteroid, I don't know if it's a moving thing, if it's like, because an asteroid can be stationary, or it can be moving, right? If it's stationary, it's in synchronic orbit with the Earth. If it's moving with the Earth, it is like, a satellite, a natural satellite. So they discovered these already then, back then, and it's not the only one, of course. So there's a lot of things real there, out there. And as in anything, any truth-seeking, we have to establish what is real. And if people start coming in with literally a model, it's not even a model, because it doesn't work. Right? How can you ever have a model that...
Yeah, like... Just the craters we know, you know,
the craters
times like in the Eiffel in Germany.
Oh, wait a minute. But what kind of craters? Because the Eiffel
is it asteroids or meteors? The ones that crash on the Earth. Like there are some sites.
A meteorite is by definition an object that crashes on Earth. A meteor is an object that burns to dust in the atmosphere.
A meteorite, then.
Yes.
Like we have some sites on Earth.
Yeah.
It's very clear that some extraterrestrial object hits the planet. Sometimes millions of years ago. But we have the craters.
Really? Look at Wikipedia and the list of craters, and you find my work there. So yeah, I know quite a bit about craters. I find them very fascinating. One of my former students, even, he is an expert on craters, and he's one of the world-renowned experts on craters.
Cool, man.
Yeah, he was one. I had that, of course, and he was one of the participants.
He's very nice.
Talk to him, so sorry.
It seems very evident that some meteorites actually hit the surface of the Earth.
Of course. I mean, you go to look up the, what is it? The craters in Argentina, in Peru, there are like a couple of years ago. I mean, they find complete fields when these craters explode in the atmosphere because of pressure. It's so unsustainable, all these velocities, and then it crumbles down in small pieces, and you find meteorites. Rick has found meteorites in Australia, right? It makes sense because they stand out all the things in surrounding. And SMJ who wants to deny meteorites. I mean, you have to explain then where do they come from. They're completely alien to anything you find around it, right?
Yeah, at least the ones that we found in the craters, they have materials.
You found them.
No, of course, scientists, but.
Oh, no, but you know.
But we have.
Rick, with all respect for Rick, but he's not. Regular people find meteorites, right?
Yeah, I personally wasn't that lucky, but.
We have
extraterrestrial objects that we found as a species, as humans, that you can use carbon dating, you can use all the methods, and it's clear that they don't come from our planet.
Yeah, that's the thing. I would describe it, and I think I would just refine it a bit. You find an object which is so different, alien, literally, from all the rest of the environment, mineralogy, texture, you have glassy fragments, and then it falls into a completely sedimentary environment. So the only origin that could be is by definition, and that's where the name comes from, meteoric. Meteoric means from the sky. Right? Meteorology is the study of the weather and the short-term climate, let's say, right? Or other way around.
Basically, the climate of the sky. Yes.
Weather. Yeah. Meteora is a very, very good place to Europe. Go there. In Greece. These monasteries on these rocks, these platforms, that is amazing sight. Because you see photos and you think, wow, that's nice. But a photo never describes what you see in real life, and then it's even more spectacular. Another tip in between. Freedom First. I don't know if you listen back to Chess, but if you can, okay, please take some notes and pass them on to me, and then I'll put the fake video. That was offline. We cut it out. Oh, no. What? But what were we talking about? What did you want to share? I mean, you're tired, I know that, but
it's getting hard. Like, we started on the ley lines.
I really
want to go deeper into that, because I think there's a lot of interesting stuff there.
Yeah, no good.
But apart from that, it was just us sharing a stream of consciousness, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Going from there. It's always cool.
The thing is, it's nice to find completely, I mean, like I said, or maybe not online, but I was looking for Discord channels, the servers, and then I found something. I was looking for, then I found one server which was completely dead, and I said hello, and then someone answered, and he said, he revised it. And then I sent it to Garris, he also joined, and he also played some posts. We did very few things. And then someone posted something, and he reminded it, and then I said, hello, are you online? And then I started chatting with him in that server, not his server, but some server. And then I invited him into Fakeologist, and now he's a member here, so welcome. I always forget it. His name.
But yeah, it's interesting to start from there and talk about this history. The history hoax, yeah. Wait a minute, right? The pyramids are not a hoax. Or Tiwanaku, or Chichen Itza, or whatever, right? Angkor Wat.
It's also nice to have people, fresh people, you know? Like,
yes.
I don't think like I have that much to add myself. But, in conversations...
For you, it means you're not the youngest.
Yeah, of course, but I feel like in conversations, oftentimes, I remember something, and it's useful for the conversation, so I don't feel just useless.
No, but you shouldn't, because you're bringing good points and good thoughts, right? That's what it's about. I mean, it's not useless. And in the end, it doesn't matter if one person listening or so. Probably when it comes out, literally 5 minutes later, you have a thumb down. Oh, I want to mention, just before the break, if you look at Frac 911, there are two, but the first one, there are 91 thumbs up for that shit. I don't know where they came from, but it is to show that I'm not impressed by a minus 66 thumb down on my post about why space travel was impossible. Do you think, do I care? I mean, why, man? I can do it too. Oh, that's nice. And if you have something to say and if you have a good argument why I'm wrong, please come on the chat and let's chat about it, but not that much. So I want to just share that, that idea. Okay, I will make a Wikipedia page tomorrow and put some links in there and figure first that we will continue offline for a little bit before you go to bed, okay? Thank you, listeners.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, not much. This was Fakeologist Radio. But, Fakeologist Radio. Fakeologist Radio. Fakeologist.
Fakeologist.
Okay, thank you.
That's all, folks.